One Man's Family, brought to you, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer, Tabsin, and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Margaret and her Uncle Paul in the library.
Gee, you look handsome when you're all dressed up, Uncle Paul.
Well, maybe I should do it more often then, huh, Margaret?
Uh-huh. I bet you're going to see a girl, aren't you?
Well, not exactly a girl. Let's say a young lady.
Oh, I love romance.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. I know you mothers are constantly on guard against the danger of infection in the family. And I know you'll be glad to learn that our new product, Bactine, can be your old reliable in your fight against germs. Yes, Bactine, spelled B-A-C-T-I-N-E, is a powerful germ killer. Bactine is new and different, not exactly like any product you've ever used before. But I know when you try Bactine, you'll like it better. Here's why I say that. Bactine is colorless. It doesn't stain as many old-fashioned antiseptics do. It doesn't hurt either, and it has a fresh, clean odor. Now, you see, Bactine is different. I know what you mothers are thinking. You're saying to yourselves right now, if this is true about Bactine, it'll be wonderful to use when the youngsters cut or scratch themselves. Well, it is true, and you're absolutely right. Youngsters love Bactine. And you will too, Mother, because you'll find so many, many uses for this product. Read the descriptive folder that comes with Bactine and see how using Bactine daily can help protect your family's health. Ask your druggist for the 30 or 70 cent size bottle of Bactine, spelled B-A-C-T-I-N-E, Bactine. Chapter 14, Book 84. The slanting rays of the late afternoon sun are coming through the library windows of the Barber family home in Seacliff, San Francisco. Mother Barber is alone at the moment, her head bobbing in rhythm with her knitting needles. She hears the back door close, and then the voice of her granddaughter, Margaret.
Grandfather!
Hello, Margaret. I'm in the library.
Okay. Where's Grandfather?
What, dear?
Oh, hi, Grandmother. Isn't Grandfather here?
No, he went out right after lunch, and I haven't seen him since. Time he was back.
Well, where did he go, do you know?
He had some business to attend to downtown, he said.
Oh, dear. I wanted to get my scrapbook from him. Do you know what he's done with it?
I haven't any idea. Thought he'd given it back to you.
No, I haven't seen it for 2 or 3 days now. I've asked him about it. He's acted awfully, well, kind of mysterious.
Well, I'll speak to your grandfather about it, dear. I'll see that you get it back.
Okay. Wonder where Mom is. She said she was going to pick me up here after school.
Well, she phoned a while ago and said she was coming right over. She has a letter about Pinky she wants to show me.
About Pinky?
Mm-hmm. From one of his officers, I think she said.
Oh, gee, I hope he's not in some kind of trouble again.
No, she said it was a very nice letter.
Oh, it'd be terrible if something went wrong with his Navy career after Grandfather and I dedicated our family history to him. We practically called him a hero.
Well, I wouldn't worry. I'm sure he'll prove worthy of all the nice things you said.
Mom?
Yes, Paul, I'm in here.
Okay, be there in a minute.
Uncle Paul home from the airport already?
He came home early. He's been upstairs changing his clothes. He's going out to dinner this evening.
Oh, with Nicolette?
Hey, Mom, will you tell Cliff... Well, hello, Margaret.
Hi, Uncle Paul. My, you look handsome when you're all dressed up.
Well, thank you. Maybe I should do it oftener.
What were you going to say about Clifford?
Oh, when he comes home, will you tell him that I left that telephone number and the fellow's name he's to call on his dresser?
All right.
He'll know what it is. It's a man I told Cliff I'd talk to today about a job.
I'll tell him, Paul. He's been out looking for work all day.
Oh?
Left right after breakfast this morning.
Well, if he keeps on like this, something will turn up for him. Well, I've got to be on my way.
Isn't it early to be going to dinner, Paul?
Just a little, but I promised to be there early, so I'd better be a man of my word, wouldn't you say, Margaret?
Oh, yes, particularly if it's a girl. I'll bet it is, too.
Margaret.
Isn't it, Uncle Paul?
Well, if you insist, Miss Curiosity, yes, it is.
Oh, I wish I were waiting for some handsome man to come and take me out to dinner.
Well, I don't want to disillusion you, but I'm not taking her out. She's cooking the dinner.
Well, that's even more romantic. An intimate meal at home by candlelight.
You go ahead and dream, honey, but this is quite platonic. Purely a friendly relationship.
Oh, a lot of love affairs start out like that and turn out to be real serious in the end.
Well, this is getting too philosophical for me. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Goodbye, Paul. Margaret, you shouldn't pry into people's affairs that way. You know, your Uncle Paul doesn't like to discuss his private life.
Oh, I'm sorry, Grandmother. I didn't realize I was prying. I was just interested, that's all.
I know. It's all right.
It's hard not to be interested in what Uncle Paul's doing. Maybe it's because there's always an air of mystery about it.
Oh, I don't think he's so mysterious.
Just the same. I'll bet you don't know who it is he's going to see tonight.
No.
Can't be Nicolette, because she's just next door, and she wouldn't be cooking a meal for him at Jack and Betty's house. So there's a mystery right there. I think Uncle Paul's got a new girl, Grandmother. If he has, I hope she's as glamorous as Christine Abbott was.
Well, now, let's not let our imagination run away with us.
Of course, I feel kind of sorry for Nicolette, but she and Paul would never get married anyway. That's just another example of the blighted romances that runs through this family. It started back with Grandfather's Aunt Isabel, and the strain is carried right through to the present. Don't you see,
Grand... All right, Margaret. Now, we'll talk about something else now. I think we've had quite enough of romance.
Okay.
Tell me about school. What do you like best since you started going to high school? You still having trouble with Latin?
Oh, that stuff. It's about the...
Yoo-hoo!
Yes, Hazel?
I'm here too, Ma.
Oh, you are. That's good.
How are you, Mother? Just fine. Sit down, Hazel. Did you bring the letter?
Mm-hmm. Grandmother said it was from an officer, Mom.
Now, be patient, Margaret. I'm going to read it. Isn't Father home?
No, he went downtown. He hasn't come back yet.
Well, I'll leave this letter so he can read it this evening.
Oh, I think I heard the back door. That may be your father now. Henry!
No, it's me, Mom.
It's Cliff. Sounds tired.
He's been out looking for jobs all day. Clifford, aren't you?
Take it easy, Mom.
Oh,
hello, Cliff.
Oh, hi, Hazel. Oh, here's my girl. Hiya, Maggie.
Hi, Uncle Cliff.
Oh, boy. Let me squat and rest me weary bones.
How did you make out, Clifford?
Oh, a couple of nibbles. I don't feel much like talking about it right now.
Of course.
I've got some news about Pinky here. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, sure. How's he doing?
Well, I'll let you judge. It's a letter from the commanding officer at the Naval Training Station. I wrote to him and asked him about Pinky, you know.
Yeah. Well, did he explain why we didn't get to see him after driving all the way to San Diego?
Oh, yes. It's quite a nice letter, really. I feel better about the whole situation. He says, "My dear Mrs. Murray, I am in receipt of your letter inquiring about your son, Seaman Recruit William Herbert Murray, U.S. Navy.
Gee, that sounds official.
We regret that you were unable to see him when you came to San Diego. Had we been informed that you were making a trip for that purpose, we would have certainly relaxed the discipline imposed on your son to the extent of permitting him to see his family. He was on extra duty at the time of your visit. The discipline was due to the following circumstances. I quote from the report given me by his commanding officer, quote, Murray failed to report for the morning muster, later found sleeping in bunk. When asked to explain his conduct, he said he was tired, unquote.
Oh, brother.
We realize the rigors of Navy life may seem exacting to some of the young men at first, but your son is now establishing a good record for neatness, courtesy, and promptness, underlined. We are confident he will prove to be a fine Navy man, and we and you can be proud of him. Yours very truly.
Why, I think that's a nice letter.
Yes, it's friendly and understanding. Well, the next time we make that trip, we'll know what to do, Cliff.
Yeah.
Well, Margaret, we've got to get home. I'll leave this letter for Father to read.
All right, dear.
Would you tell Grandfather I'll call him after dinner about my scrapbook, Grandmother?
Yes, I'll tell him.
I'll drop by tomorrow, Mother. Come on, Margaret.
Bye now.
Bye. Bye.
Goodbye.
Have
you had a discouraging day, Clifford?
Well, a couple of guys said to come back next week. You know, usual routine. Didn't line up anything very promising.
Oh, Paul left a man's name and telephone number on your dresser. He said he'd talk to him today and for you to call him regarding a position.
Oh, yeah. Is Paul at my studio?
No, he came home early and got dressed to go out for dinner. He left quite a while ago.
Oh, Nicolette?
No, he didn't say who it was, but he's not going to Nicolette. Said some girl was cooking dinner for him.
Cooking his dinner? That sounds like Maudie Pemberton.
Well, why would Paul be seeing her?
That's what I was wondering. But I don't know who else would be cooking the meal.
I don't think a girl with any brains would ever admit a thing like this, Paul, but I've been looking forward to this evening.
Even though you've committed yourself to cook a dinner? I feel a little guilty about that. When you called me last week and invited me, I thought afterward the least I might do is to ask if you didn't want to go out somewhere and eat.
Oh, I like the Kirk.
Paul, do you feel awkward about being here?
Do I look awkward?
No, but I thought perhaps you might think it was a bit brazen of me to call you. I did it on the spur of the moment. I was reading over a letter I'd received from Teddy, and of course Paul was all the way through it, and naturally I got to thinking about you. So I picked up the phone. Before I knew it, I was talking to you, and now here you are. Now that I think about it, it is a little strange, isn't it? Does Clifford know you were coming here?
No, but I intend to tell him that I've been to see you.
Why?
Don't you think I should?
Well, I don't know. He might be hurt.
I'm sure I can convince him he has no cause to be. Because you decided not to marry him is no reason for us to avoid you, is it?
Well, you've done a pretty good job of it. If I hadn't phoned you, do you think you'd have ever gotten in touch with me?
I can't answer that honestly, Marty. I've thought about calling you several times, but I didn't quite know what I would say. Maybe that's why I seem a bit awkward now.
You didn't call me because you were afraid Cliff might misunderstand. That was the main reason, wasn't it?
It's possible. I hadn't analyzed it. But as I said, as far as tonight is concerned, I'll see that there is no misunderstanding on Cliff's part. I think he should know all the circumstances. That you called to tell me about a letter from Teddy. That we chatted along. You asked me for dinner so we could talk about her. And I came over for the evening, and that's all there is to it. I can't possibly see how he could misinterpret that. Can you?
Well, no. Except... It's just that if Cliff was seeing this from my side of the fence, it might not seem quite that simple.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. Friends, when you're feeling miserable with a headache, get relief the easy, pleasant way. Take Alka-Seltzer. Yes, drink a glass of sparkling, refreshing Alka-Seltzer. It contains one of the world's most effective pain relievers called sodium acetyl salicylate. And since Alka-Seltzer is already dissolved when you take it, it's ready to go right to work. It helps you feel better so quickly. Try it and see. We're sure Alka-Seltzer will be first with you because it does give such fast headache relief. So always keep Alka-Seltzer handy and take it whenever a headache is making you miserable. Ask your druggist for Alka-Seltzer. Here's the family again.
Good night, Marty. Thank you so much for a wonderful dinner.
Good night, Paul. Do you think you'd like to be invited again?
If I came too soon, Clifford might misunderstand, don't you think?
Maybe. I suppose I'll just have to wait till you call me then.
Remember, friends, to get the new family antiseptic, Bactine, from your druggist. That's Bactine, Bactine. Read the descriptive folder that comes with it. Find out the many ways in which you and your family can benefit every day from having Bactine handy to use. It is truly a different germ killer that has not one or two, but many different uses in every home. There's never been anything exactly like Bactine. You'll never believe any product can offer so much until you try it. Get Bactine from your druggist right away. Help protect your family's health for just a few cents. Bactine, Bactine. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Father Barber's Big Surprise, Chapter 15, Book 84. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto. Thank you.